The passage I took this morning is a very famous passage. Most people, even the children, I'm sure, Tobias and Ellie and a few other older ones, will remember this story about Jesus' temptation. It's a very simple story, and yet there's a profound message in this story. Message for all of us, for young and for old. Every one of us, there is a message. This temptation is the word temptation is a strange word, because it has got a negative kind of reaction. When you hear the word temptation, it always seems to be negative. And yet, this word actually comes from our Lord's Prayer. If you remember, children, the Lord's Prayer, when you say, praying to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and so on. We haven't read that prayer for a while, so maybe next week we should read the prayer together. And also, what it says in the prayer is that, lead us not into temptation. We are asking in that prayer to ask God to not to lead us into temptation. Now, it's funny when you think about it. Why would God lead us into something which is so negative? Temptation is a very bad thing. We always associate temptation as very bad. So why do we ask God to lead us not into temptation, as if God will want to take us something into very bad? Am I right? So it seems like what the King James Bible is saying and what the Lord's Prayer is saying, that you lead us not into temptation. But yet, there are new translations. The new translation, the more modern translation, they realize this problem, that temptation is very negative. It's not good. But why do we say in our Christian prayer? So that's why many of them change the word temptation to hard testing. If you read some of the modern translation, I know you all have your King James Bible, but if you ever have a chance, you see that they use the word hard testing. Do not lead us to hard testing. Now, then, when that's changed, it means it's better. It sounds a bit better. Because God do test us. There's no question about it. God, in His infinite wisdom, in His will, do test His people. Do test the people, say that I'm a Christian, that I'm your believer, I'm your follower, I'm your disciple. God tests us. God does not test a non-Christian because they don't belong to Him. So therefore, they are always falling into temptation. But for a Christian, it is very important for us, for God to identify who are the people who can survive hard knocks in life, who can survive difficulties in life. They are the survivor. They hang on to God. They are faithful to God. So God wants to know that. That are you little ones? Are you the big one, the older one? Are you faithful to God? Even though some hard testing is coming to your way. And God do give hard testing. There's no question about it. And then you see here, in this instant, in Matthew chapter 4 about Jesus, even Jesus had to go through hard testing and temptation. Even Jesus, the Son of God, had to go through that. God willed that he has to go through it. So if Jesus is being led into it, God agreed that he go into testing, how much more? Jesus is beyond all of us. And yet he was being led into testing. So how much more we, as ordinary Christians, have to be led into testing? Because God has to determine whether our faith in Him is just hearsay or just on the surface, on the outward appearance, not from the heart. God has to know that. He had to put us to the test in order to find out whether we are the genuine article. So that's why, boys and girls, or older Christian, brothers and sisters, you will be put into testing. As long as you are a Christian, you claim to be God, God is going to put you to a test. And he's happy because he wants you to be victorious. He wants you to overcome temptation, overcome hard testing, and not to let God down. Because your salvation is based on that. Based on all this hard testing that we are experiencing. Your salvation has to be, finally, be the result of what, how much hard testing you can go through. And God will be pleased. He's not pleased because you suffer much. He's pleased because you have overcome it. And your faith stay intact. Your faith in him still there. Temptation and hard testing, for me, my understanding, are both sides of the same coin. Both sides of the same coin. Temptation is the domain of the Satan. Satan tempts us to bring us down, to make us fall. But the other side of the coin, God let us have past testing. The same event, the same temptation, the same hard testing, have both sides to it. Because God wants us to overcome it. He has to say we have to prove that we have the faith to overcome it. So temptation and hard testing are the same. So let us be clear about this. They are not different. They are the same event. They are the same. But the outcomes are different. Outcome and the desire from Satan is different from the desire of God. Desire of Satan is to bring us down, to shame us, to make us fall. That is the desire of Satan. But God wants us to stand and be strong and not to fall into temptation. Because then I'll depend our faith in him and trusting in him. So that the two sides of the coins, it looks very differently from both sides, from the Satan side on the domain side, or from God's side, and it's very different. But the event is exactly the same. Now I go to the temptation itself. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. There is a word there which very often sometimes we read things. Sometimes I like people to tell people to read their Bible. Don't skip over things. Read it very carefully. Verse 1 was very important. Because it says right from the beginning, Jesus was led by the Spirit, God's Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. So the Spirit led Jesus into some dangerous places, into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Satan is waiting there. And Spirit led Jesus to it. So it is something that we have to always bear in mind. Somewhere along the line, Spirit leads us to something. To something that happened. It's not because, as Cantonese saying, or so you won, I'm unlucky that I'm in that situation. No. Because we will think, my fortune is not good. That's why I fall into such dire situation. No, the Spirit lead Christian. Christians don't believe in that kind of thing. The Spirit lead us into this kind of situation. Into a battlefield, if you like. Into a battleground. Because God will it. God allows it. But let's look at the first temptation itself. The first hard testing that Jesus faced. Satan said this to Jesus. He said, you see, this is after 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus had no food. He was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry. Now you would, after 1 day or 2 days. I'm not sure how long Tobias will last for 2 days if he will scream on top of his voice if he has got no food in his stomach. The mother and father will hear about it. But Jesus 40 days and 40 nights has no food. And then Satan said to him, let me find my place. I've lost my track. Oh, Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, he knew Jesus was hungry. Now, this first temptation is very subtle. When you look at it, it's very subtle, and there are a lot of motives there. I start with the word if. If you are the Son of God. Now, Satan at this point, I am absolutely sure, do not know Jesus is the Son of God. He took him as an ordinary rabbi, an ordinary man, trying to make a name for himself, trying to gain publicity, trying to go into the ministry. So he said, if you're the Son of God. So the word if already tells you that Satan do not know Jesus is the Son of God. And why he did not know? Because this temptation was happened at the very beginning, before even Jesus went to ministry. So he haven't done anything yet. He haven't shown anything to the public. Satan haven't heard the rumors or haven't heard anything about this great person who can walk on waters, who can sort of calm the storm, who can feed the 5,000, who can tell the blind man and to open his eyes, who can raise the life. Satan haven't heard any of those things. So he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now this is not as preposterous as what Satan decided, that if you are Son of God, turn these stones into bread, because we all know that it's not possible. John and Sharon's children will tell you, how can you turn a stone into bread? That's not possible. Scientifically, it's impossible. But yet, this is not unprecedented. Because John the Baptist also says something strange like that. You know what he said just before then, before Jesus came in, when John the Baptist was preaching, before Jesus came into the scene? He was scolding those Pharisees and teachers of the law. He said, you think you are Abraham's children, you can go to heaven. You are not. Because children of Abraham doesn't make you automatically you can go to heaven. He said, God can turn all these stones into children of Abraham. You see, even John the Baptist realized that God can turn those stones into children of Abraham. Because God can do anything. Anything that he wants. So John the Baptist knew that. Sounds very humorous when you look at it. How can you turn stone into the children of Abraham? How can you turn stone to... But well, God can do anything he wants. So Satan is asking, if you are the Son of God, you prove yourself, turn these stones into bread. Because it's one of the... Any children will tell you, it's one of the impossibility. It's impossible. Only God can do that. So he is not sure this Jesus is the Son of God, is the God. So he's asking, so you demonstrate to me. You show it to me. So therefore, there are things there in this temptation which is fascinate me. Satan doesn't know Jesus is the Son of God. Otherwise he wouldn't have asked that. And yet, the most interesting thing of this temptation is that Jesus refused to succumb to Satan's demand. Because most of us, you and I, would say, sure, you want me to turn this into, I have the power to do it. Jesus had the power to do it. Sure, you want me to turn this stone into bread? I'll turn it into bread. Just to show you, that's human. Human, we are up for a challenge. We're up to, let's say, prove that we are more able than we are. That's very human. Jesus could easily say, sure, you want me to prove that? I'll prove to you. But Jesus was not going to prove to Satan. He doesn't have to prove to Satan. God knows and he knows who he is. That's enough. He doesn't need to prove to Satan anything. So that restraint from Jesus is so much admired in the midst of temptation. So much admired that he can prove at this point to Satan who he is. But he's not going to do it. He's holding it back. He's restraining himself. He's not going to do it. Not because he can't. Because even John the Baptist realized that the stone can be turned. God can turn stone into children of Abraham. John the Baptist said it. He believed that too. So how much more Jesus can turn this stone into bread? And we have seen later on the miracles of feeding of 5,000, of 5 loaves and 2 fish. So God can do anything. It's not impossibility for God. Nothing is impossible for God. But Jesus was not going to show off. Showing off is one of the worst sin that we all suffer. We like, as human beings, like to show off. We like to prove something. We have to show something that we can do. We are better than we are. We can do this, we can do that, and so on. If you want me to prove it, I'll prove it to you. That's a human thing. But yet, God wants us, Jesus is teaching us not to do it. Try to restrain, because you don't have to prove anything to Satan. You don't have to prove anything to God, to other people. As long as God knows you, and God, you know yourself, that is enough. That's a very good example of Jesus. Something that we all need to learn. Certainly, turning the bread into a stone to bread is something Jesus would have very much liked to do. Because remember, the story tells us that he was hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. Who would want to have a piece of bread and to fill your stomach? Your hunger. You must have lost a lot of weight. Who don't want to turn that bread, stone into bread? And Jesus can. But you know why he won't? There's another thing. Because he doesn't want to turn the stone to only benefit himself. This is something very important. A miracle cannot be used to, the miracle of God cannot be used to benefit yourself. How many of us say, if I can turn this stone into gold, I'll be rich? Now that's benefiting yourself. But miracle cannot, power of God cannot be used for that purpose, to enrich our individual life. Power of God is to serve God and give glory to God for the people, for God's people. Like feeding on the 5,000. Jesus turned bread into multi-thousand of loaves for all the people. He's not benefiting himself, he's benefiting everybody. For from the selfish point of view, it is so tempting to be selfish. To have to break this loaf for yourself, to satisfy your hunger, to satisfy your thirst, is so much needed at this time. And yet Jesus still has the strength, after 40 days of life, to resist the misuse of God's power for himself. Now that is strength, real strength. We can see in the early stage how the strength of Jesus, how much strength he has. You and I will, I'm sure you and I will fall flat. If we had the power to turn the stones into bread, you and I will be jump at it at any time to make a quick solution to our problem. But not Jesus. He just refused to succumb to that kind of temptation. Certainly the Bible tells us that temptations and heart testings are allowed from God. But it comes from Satan. There is no doubt that it is, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible actually says God tempts no one. It is not in his nature to tempt people or heart testing people. But he allows them to be done. But Satan certainly had no power over us, over life and death in particular. I've heard this in the last conversation in Malaysia, that Satan had power over life and death. I say no. Just look at the book of Job. God does not allow it. Life and death is in God's hand, not in Satan's hand. God has to allow life and death. So Satan doesn't have that kind of power. He cannot just use that kind of power. Even him had to realize that he has no that power to make life and death decision. So look at clearly it's written in the book of Job. Now we look at the second temptation, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. I've already talked about that. But the second temptation is Matthew chapter 4. But I think it's verse 5, I think. It says this. Oh, before I go to that, sometimes I'm carried away by not looking at my sermon notes and get carried away. But I want to look at the answers of Jesus before I go to second temptation. The answer for Jesus to Satan is a very interesting answer. It's a compassionate answer. It's not a rebuke. I don't see it as a rebuke, but I see it as compassionate. Because Jesus is compassionate. He replied to Satan, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but need every word that God speaks." Now, this answer to Satan is a very compassionate one. Because he's trying to tell Satan that you cannot just rely upon physical thing to live. Your spirit is important. The spirit, the word of God is for your spirit. That is important. So he's trying to teach Satan something. Can you imagine, even when he's at this trial, he's trying to teach Satan that you have to rely upon the word of God, he's telling Satan. And he's also telling us in many ways that we cannot neglect the word of God. The word of God we cannot neglect. We need it. It is our spiritual food and we need it constantly. Neglecting the word of God and not reading it, not studying, becomes that we are spiritually stunned. Our growth is not happening. The growth in our spiritual life is not happening. We are not growing into maturity. We are stunned in growth. It's never growth. It's like a plant that has no fruit, that bear no fruit. It's stunned. It just has nothing. It has got nothing to help him to bear fruits. So even Satan need to hear that. How compassionate is Jesus, even challenged with the challenge of his enemy as Satan. He said, you need to read the word of God. Every word of God that comes out the mouth of God, you, even Satan, you need to read it. And of course we know what Satan is going to say, that he's not going to read them. The final conclusion of this first temptation is that it shows that as long as we are human, as long as Satan is still around, Christians will always be tempted. There will be difficult, hard testing. It is inescapable if you are a Christian. Temptation, you cannot escape temptation. So having failed, now I come to the second temptation. Having failed in the first temptation, to find out if he is really the Son of God or not, or he's really the God. He asked the same question. He took him to the highest part in the temple. In Matthew verse 5, chapter 4 verse 5, he took Jesus to the temple and set him on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are God's Son, throw yourself down. For the scriptures say, God will give orders to his angel about you. They will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt in the stone. Now how subtle is that temptation? Because he used the word of God, which is true. It's written in Psalm. So it's using the word of God to challenge Jesus. If you are the Son of God, because that's what the Bible says. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says this, if you throw yourself out, God will hold you up with your hand, the angels will hold you up so that your feet will not hurt. That's what's promised in the Bible. Satan is saying, look, this is what God said in the old God said in your Bible. So highlighting the promise of God Isn't that something which is very, very, you will say, that's very wonderful to know the Bible like this. To know the Bible so thoroughly, or at least some part of the Bible so thoroughly, that I can quote it and tell you that this is what God said. I find over my life as a Christian for a long time, I meet many Christians. I don't mean they are not real Christians, they are quite devoted Christians, young and old. They make a lot of promises in the Bible. They say, God say this. If you pray, God will answer your prayer. That's what in the Bible. And they say, God must answer my prayer now. Now, this is exactly what Satan is saying. He said, if you throw yourself down, go up to the highest part of the road, throw yourself, because that's what the Bible said. God promised that the angel will come straight away and hold you, so that you will not hurt. What's wrong with that? That's what the Bible says. It looks crystal clear what the Bible is saying. So how can God be wrong? How can Satan quoting God's word be wrong? But yet, it's such a subtle question, because it brings God into dispute in the saying that God promised you this, didn't he? He promised you all this wonderful blessing, all this wonderful answer to prayer, everything that God will give you, everything. You will be victorious in everything. Didn't he promise you all this thing? And yet Satan knows that. That part he knows. And so he say, if you are a son of God, you believe in God, throw yourself down. So he still wanted Jesus proved that he's the son of God. So he's still not sure. See, Satan is not all that clever. Don't think Satan is very clever. He's not all that clever because he doesn't know who Jesus is. So he's at the moment trying to test his luck. Trying to find out whether Jesus is the son of God. Can he do all this thing? Not that I think he will believe in Jesus. I'm sure that's far from him. He just wants to use it to say in a very a subtle way and very thoughtful way to see whether Jesus will fall into it or not, fall into the trap that he set for him. That was his purpose, to make him fall. But Jesus just refused to do it. So here in the second, then Jesus said to him in a very interesting way, you cannot tempt the Lord your God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus is quoting another part of scripture to tell Satan that you cannot put the Lord your God to the test. So that is why I'm saying from the beginning, when you read Bible, make sure you read the whole Bible. Don't just read the part that you like only. You only memorize the part that you like. Oh, this part is very good for me. I like it. I claim that I'm victorious on this part. But you forget another part of the scripture to say, do not tempt the Lord your God. Because by doing so, you are tempting the Lord your God. You're throwing the yourself up the roof of the temple and say, God, now I'm now in the last moment now, I'm throwing myself up, you better come and help me, because that's what you promised in the Bible. And I tell you, 99.9% God will not come and help you, because it means that you are tempting the Lord your God. You are demanding God to turn up like a tap. Whenever you want him, turn the tap on and God will come straight away. It doesn't work like that with God. God is not at our command. God is not at our bidding. When we like it, we turn it on and then he will come. God cannot be like that. If that's the kind of God, then it's a useless God. So it is very important. And Jesus corrected the Satan by saying that there is another word of scripture said that you do not tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus reminding the full message, the word of God. So I'm urging my brother and sister here, read the Bible, But read every chapter in the Bible. Know every aspect of God. Don't just know that part that suits you, that you like very much, and then you claim this is about promise. I've seen many Christians, their faith just gone down, completely. When God didn't turn up as they demanded God to turn up, to heal their loved one at the time that, and please don't let them die, and they died. And they claimed God's promise. And this healed me now. And they came God, and God didn't come. Because God cannot be on demand, on the tap. Whenever like a streaming, you just turn it on, there's your stream happen on your television. God cannot be like that. That means that God is a hopeless God. God has his own will and reason and plan. Much as we don't understand God, we have to accept he is much greater than us, and he cannot be manipulated by us in any way by us. I just sidetracked a little bit here. Some of you may be in your mind thinking, oh, I think I remember some part in the Bible that people test God. Now, that was different. Let me just give you the reason why. Because when God called people, personally I have the same experience. When God called you to do certain thing, and you say, gosh, is it in my imagination, or did I just hear a voice from God? You're not sure. This is God's calling. God's called you for something, to do something. But you're not sure because it's something unusual. And you're not sure whether it is the voice of God or it's just your own imagination. And you say to God, God, I'm not sure. Can you tell me again? Can you prove it that it is your call? And in that situation, not testing God. That is, you're asked to confirm this calling. And God will. Three times you need to ask God. Usually after the first and second time you realize from God, even with Bill, you read three times. You can ask God for three times. And he will, if he's really calling you into doing something unusual, like going to missionary or something like that, or going to a ministry or something like that, or give up your daily job and become a pastor of the church, something very drastic like that. If God is speaking to you, you can ask him. He will answer you. He will answer you. You can give him a challenge and he will answer you. I have tested that many times. When God asks me to do something, I say, I need to test you, Lord. Is it from you or just some imagination in my mind? And whatever test you give to God, it will come true. Then you know it's from God. Because only you know the test and God knows the test. Nobody else knows the test. Now that's called testing God. If a person don't test God, when he say, oh, God called me to go to Nepal or something like that, they never test God, then I say it could be your imagination. It could be quite disastrous when you go there because it's not God's will. You should test it. So that's different from not tempting God. Let's ask God to confirm that he's speaking to you, and that's a very good thing. Now I come to finally my third temptation. My time seems to be running out. The third temptation, Satan said this, came straight to the point, did not use the word if anymore. He said that he took Jesus to the highest mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, everything. All the riches, the power, and the kings, and the government, everything, all the world. He said, all of this I will give to you. Now, that's very interesting to know. Satan always thinks that he has the power in the government, in all the trappings in the world. Because, the reason is because all these things seems to sound very often is in the very muddy and sinful, in a very dark and grey area. Bad government and things. Satan always feels that he has the power to do anything he wants. But not necessary, because God has the power of government too. Now, he said, and all this greatness, he said this, all this, he said, I will give to you. So it is his to give. He feels that it's his to give. The devil said, if you kneel down and worship me. Now if you worship me here, if you think I'm very powerful, I have all this thing, I can give it to you. It's an incredible, subtle and incredible temptation, this one. But there's one thing, now we know, after the third temptation, how little Satan knows who Jesus is. Because he didn't know Jesus come from heaven. Now this is something that it might surprise you. It says surprise Satan. He didn't know Jesus come from heaven. Jesus say, I am the God of heaven. I created all things. All things that belong to me. I own the cattle on the thousand hills, the gold in every mine. God said, I own all that. I created all that. I own it. And Jesus is in the creation. We read in John chapter 1, I was talking to the Bible study on Wednesday. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything was created through Him, through Jesus. But Jesus' name was not mentioned, because in the Old Testament, nobody knew who Jesus is. But we know that He is the Word. John called Him the Word. Because He speaks. Little that devil, the Satan knows that Jesus owns all this thing. He doesn't want Satan to give. Nothing you give me to is more than I have. I've already got everything. And I gave it all up. In the mind of Jesus, he said, I have given it all up to come down to earth, to be humble, to come down to earth. I've given it all up. That's how great Jesus' love for us. How much He loved the world, loved us. He gave up His willing. How many of us willing to give up our fortune, our riches, our authority, our power, to become humble again, to start all over again? Jesus did. He gave it all up. And Satan didn't know that. If Satan knew that, he wouldn't have said this question. Because in fact, this temptation is the easiest for Jesus without knowing it. It was the easiest, because Jesus said, I've given up more than you, what you on offer to me here. I've given up all the authority I have in heaven to come down as a poor man, as a humble poor man. I've given it all up. So Satan doesn't know a lot of things. Don't think Satan are very clever. He's not very clever. He thinks he's very clever. But he's not all that clever, because he doesn't even know Jesus given all this up. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known. Don't have asked him all this question, silly question. But yet, this thing is, Satan is using something very clever, a tactic which is very clever. That you and I, as human beings, will find this offer irresistible. If you are in your dire situation, somebody offer you something wonderful, riches and power and glory, you grab it with both hands. I'm sure every one of us will. Very few of us will turn it down. Very few of us will turn it down. Because we are such a human, our greed, our needs for ourselves, our selfishness for ourselves, to better ourselves, is so strong that we need this temptation when coming into our realm, into our hand, coming to our on a plate. You will grab it with both hands, you and I, no, for sure. For sure. Difficult to resist. And yet, resist it did. It's hard for human. But yet, Jesus resisted, because he thought to himself, I've got everything before I came down from heaven. I have everything. Why do I need these pitiful things? These are peanuts from what I have. So you see, Satan didn't know that Jesus already given up. But yet, as we turn to our human, we find this temptation extremely difficult to resist. And Jesus replying, Jesus said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. What Jesus saying to Satan has twofold. One, Satan refused to serve God. That's why he was thrown out of heaven, if you so to speak. He refused to humble himself and serve God only because he feels that he is equal to God. He has all the power that God has, which God has given to him. So that is why he feels proud that he can be equal to God. He doesn't need to serve God. He can be an adversary of God, enemy of God. And Jesus is passionately telling him, you should serve God only. All of us should. Secondly, the second fold is that we should worship God and serve only Him. Worship God is one thing. All of us can worship God. But many of us are shy of serving God. We feel that service belongs to somebody else. It's somebody else's job, not my job to serve God. But yet Jesus made it very clear to you and to me. Worshipping God is not enough on its own. You must serve Him. You must be His servant. You must be His slave. You must be His people who work for Him for nothing, even if it's for nothing. You must serve Him. Are we serving God? It's a challenge, this temptation. Satan besieged Jesus in all directions. He will do the same to all of us. If we walk in the truth, struggle with God, and finding hard, it's part of a Christian ways of hard testing. James chapter 1 verse 2 say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. What a wonderful words. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, hard testing. You must feel the joy. You must, because you are alive. And Satan wants to get at you. Because you belong to God. He wants to separate you from God. He wants to disturb and upset you. He wants to move you. He wants to rob you of your salvation. But yet he can't. Because no one can rob us from God's hands. Salvation belongs to God. But he can make you miserable in the temptation and the hard testing. He can make you become an object, his object of interest. Because you are with God all your life and you want to serve Him. And secondly, in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18, and now Jesus, he said in Hebrews 2 verse 18, he says, Jesus can help those who are tempted because He Himself was tempted. He can help us. We have to call the name of Jesus to come and help us in our temptation. And He suffered for it. Hard testing and temptation always produce suffering. For Jesus say he suffered in the temptation. And thirdly, He said, we Christians should not take temptation too lightly, because we must be on our guard, because the Bible described that, Paul talked about it as temptation, as the devil's fiery darts in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Fiery darts, the devil's darts, trying to hurt you and harm you. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, he described the devil as a hungry, roaring lion, waiting to devour God's people. So God's people has to go through a lot of this. There's no question. If your life, if somebody say to me, I hope not one of you, say, I've never been tempted. I never experienced this kind of thing. That means, I will say to you, my brother and my sister, you are probably a dead Christian. Devil has no interest in you anymore. That is why he doesn't bother you. Because you're so dead in Christ that he's not worth bothering. You haven't got a chance, fighting chance. That's why the temptation will come to you. You don't see temptation coming towards you. So be careful about that. Because temptation means good. That's why the James used the word rejoice. You must be joyful because it means good. That means you are alive. You belong to God. That's why Satan is trying to snatch you away from God. That's why he caused you all this. And God allowed it. Our merciful God allowed it. Satan wanted to keep us in prison. And now, the sad part. Psalm 73, verse 18 and 19. If you yield to temptation, if you fall, he said, people, God's people who fall and slip, they are slipped into horrible end. And temptation, and James 1:14 says, temptation draws us away from God, and we are trapped in that temptation if you yield to temptation. And 1 Thessalonians 3:5, devils tempt us to make us lose faith. All these are the negative result of temptation. This is what the devil wants. If you yield to temptation. Temptation comes. If you don't yield to it, it's not a sin. Don't think temptation is a sin. If you don't do what the temptation tells you to do, then it's not a sin. Because like one of these Cornish men said this, his name is Billy Bryer. He said this original name. He said, you can't prevent, copy the Cornish accent, but you can imagine what the Cornish accent sounds like. You can't prevent a crow from flying over your head. You can't stop that. Crow and all the bird, pigeons flying over your head. Sometimes pull on your head and over your head. But you can prevent him from making his nest in your hair. That you can stop. If the crow trying to make a nest in your wufong hair, then you can prevent it. You can stop it. So he is talking about temptation. That you cannot prevent temptation from flying around you. Because they are always going to be there. So what is the remedy? Matthew 26 verse 41. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And I go back again to Matthew 4 verse 1. Jesus said, it says, the Spirit led Jesus. So you must invoke the power and help of the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome so that you do not fail and you do not fall into temptation. Psalm 72, 23, 24, 28 say, God hold me by the hand. He guide me with his instruction and we will find protection from the sovereign Lord. But God forgive us if we ever use the temptation. It's not unforgivable sin. Because he has great love for us, his grace is so bountiful, he will start all over again with us and receive us as if we have no past. Our use of temptation, our sin is no past. So don't think God will not forgive you. God will forgive you. But we in ourselves, we must love God with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our might, and be close to him, especially when we look to Jesus as our help and helper and guide. Amen.